Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 436, April the 4th, 1980, and it's side one. That happy sound you hear is from a group called Queen. The album is A Night at the Opera, and there's a song on there called Death on Two Legs. It begins, "You suck my blood like a leech, you break the law and you preach. Screw my brain till it hurts. You've taken all my money and you still want more." There's some really good music and interesting music coming out continuously by various groups, and I'll do just a few lines from this song at the end and beginning of the tape on each side. You won't be able to hear the whole song, but it's a very interesting song. Last week I did a little bit on history, blackmail, because the world is run by two things, bullets and blackmail. And I talked about Michael Sindona, the Italian financier who was convicted of 65 counts of fraud and who's now squealing and hinting that he may name top government officials who were involved in payoffs if he goes to jail. The charges against him, he could go to jail for life, but he doesn't want to, and he has high connections not only to the Vatican as the chief investor for the Vatican, at a time when they lost between $300 million and $1 billion, and he's still in the good graces of the Vatican, and his links to the Giacano family and organized crime, and to Montini, the notorious cardinal who went on to become Pope Paul VI. Sindona worked with Montini, and Montini made John Paul II. That was his protege. This missing money is not explained. I believe it goes into Nazi rightist causes, political causes, because they're still in the good graces. But rather than go to jail, Sindona is threatening to talk. And I mentioned last week a CIA man, Donald Denisova, who worked for Savak as a killer for the Shah of Iran, whose friend, Mr. Bakhtiar, the nephew, cousin of the former Iranian prime minister, was arrested on a heroin, large heroin arrest, $32 million worth of heroin, and Denisova has threatened, if you send my friend Bakhtiar to jail on this charge, I'm going to name 7,500 CIA agents, including those that are in the American embassy at this time. Those were just two little titillating pieces of blackmail for last week, but the biggest is today, and there's a news story in the Washington Post that should do every researcher's heart very good. My friend in Texas, Charles Spears, and Penn Jones, and various people get depressed, but I'm in there till the finish for the fight, and for some reason, maybe I'm too stupid to get depressed. We're on the brink of World War III, and things look pretty bad, but there are answers and solutions, and it doesn't get me down. I can't explain why we talk about this all the time. I guess it's just my personality. I do want to share this article with you, and many of you will probably want a copy if you can't go to the library and get a copy from the Washington Post. I'll make one for you. April the 2nd, 1980. Now, this story is about a man. The story is written by Gordon Chaplin, titled Behind the Schemes, Irv Davidson, Washington, D.C.'s Master Operator. Lobbyist Irv Davidson bumps into Brilab. Now, that's an interesting lead article for a half-a-page newspaper story, how he bumps into Brilab. Before we get to Davidson, let me just run down again. I'm so frustrated for lack of time. Let me run down the difference for those of you who don't know it, and you can send for back tapes, Abscam, Pensdorf, Brilab, MyPorm. There's going to be 90 investigations by the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and all of them are going to come to one place, just as Watergate was a general word. Watergate means a lot of things to a lot of people. It means the President of the United States had to resign. It means a hotel office of the Democratic Party was burglarized. For other people, it meant the opening up of the CIA with their mind control programs in 45 hospitals and prisons. It meant the opening of the Germ Control Center and the stockpiling of germs, the use of the Central Intelligence Agency domestically when it's illegal, the FBI, CIA, and Pentagon setting up a Operation Chaos to bug and destroy civil rights leaders and black leaders, and a blueprint for murder in the United States. Watergate means a lot of things to a lot of people, and there will be hundreds and hundreds of books on Watergate. Well, Abscam will mean as much. Abscam, as I said when it first happened, is the baby of Watergate, and it will go farther than Watergate because the country is going bankrupt. It's paying off people that are blackmailed. Their security exchange papers are forged. The stock swindles, the swindling of money. One man just mentioned in the newspaper this week involved with Abscam was swindling the city of Los Angeles out of millions and millions of dollars to bankrupt the entire city of Los Angeles. There are documents how Nelson Rockefeller didn't like Mr. Lindsay in New York and decided purposely to cut off drug programs, police programs, housing, and various domestic programs to bankrupt the city of New York. Chicago is bankrupt. Well, one Abscam character whose wife was murdered just last week was bankrupting the entire city of Los Angeles. So eventually, with payoffs and money and the IRS probably not being able to keep track of these people who are living in $200,000 and $300,000 homes like Senator Williams with no noticeable income and huge standards of living and money being taken by the millions and billions, just as the Vatican loses $30 million to $1 billion, written up in Barron's magazine. A listener sent me that last week, the statistics of the missing money. There's so much bankruptcy, there's so much missing money and complaints that people are checking out who is behind it and what's happening. And it all is going to lead back to the same people who were involved in the killing of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, who pulled off the Chappaquiddick, killing Mary Jo Kopechne, and even the Sharon Tate, LaBianca, Manson family massacre, and all the various pockets of murders of witnesses to the assassinations. The payoffs and the swindling is becoming so difficult to keep track of that as the investigators go into the sources of these huge standards of living and the payoffs, and the IRS can't keep track of these people, and immigration bringing in people, payoffs for people coming in this country that don't come through the normal channels. As they investigate white-collar crime, they're eventually going to bump up into the very teams of organized crime that work with the white-collar public officials up through the Supreme Court, the White House, and so forth. So that Abscam is bringing in a net of unbelievable kinds of people, more than they ever realized. A lot of people believe that Abscam was to get labor leaders and that Senator Williams was for OSHA, the fair investigation of damages, occupational hazards. This guy was bought and sold out, you know, a few years ago. He may have been idealistic when he started, but he's a wasted man. Senator Williams, it works with the highest levels of organized crime, he and his wife in New Jersey and England and so forth, and by just investigating a little piece of them, the big piece of the puzzle is coming together. So if I can't spend 5-6 weeks just doing background on Abscam, I'll be referring to it every week, or Brilab. Now, the Washington Post article on Davidson says that lobbyist Irv Davidson bumps into Brilab. Brilab is bribery labor having to do with organized crime and large amounts of money, payoffs of politicians in Arizona. It began in Arizona, Beverly Hills, Los Angeles, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. But Davidson is the connecting link between Brilab and Abscam. You have to get that view. The Abscam leaks, the beginning, they haven't arrested, but the investigations have to do with New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and down to South Carolina with Mr. Jenrette and Mr. Kelly, Representative Kelly in Miami. Those members of the House of Representatives from Miami, South Carolina, and New York, Murphy from New York, and they worked with a man, Mr. Noto, in immigration. And Mr. Noto's immigration department was being investigated. He was the second highest man in the immigration department, and he was introduced to Carlos Marcello in New Orleans, who was part of the Brilab. And the man who made the connection between Brilab and Abscam is Mr. Irv Davidson. In other words, the FBI is investigating 90 different types of corruption pockets, and one is up north in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and with the gambling casinos in New Jersey and so forth, which then goes out to Vegas. So you take a map of the United States, and I will on one of the sheets soon make charts for you of all of these places. I know it's impossible for you, unless you study it all the time, to get these straight. But the connecting link of Mr. Noto in immigration, who worked in the New York area, was a man named Irv Davidson, who worked with Carlos Marcello. Now, the House Select Committee on Assassination spent $6 million investigating or trying to cover up the murder of John Kennedy and Reverend Martin Luther King. And the only conclusion they came to is that Santos Traficana and Carlos Marcello were possibly involved. Marcello hired David Ferry, who worked with the CIA. And this tape isn't about the Kennedy assassination, but Marcello lives in New Orleans and was a very prime suspect in the assassination of John Kennedy. Marcello hated Robert Kennedy, who had him, he had been deported to Guatemala. And Marcello's always had trouble with immigration, and he wanted a permanent residency in the United States to get his name cleared. He's worth $40 or $50 million and lives in the New Orleans area. He wanted his name cleared. So Mr. Davidson introduced Marcello to Mr. Noto, who was second highest in the immigration office in the United States. And Noto was ready to retire, and Marcello said he would hire him, the immigration official. He wanted his status permanent U.S. citizen, not to be deported, and then he hired the second highest man in immigration. And the man who introduced Noto from immigration to Marcello was this Irv Davidson. And because Marcello is being investigated and been wiretapped for several years, if not much longer, in the Bry Lab, Mr. Noto had strong links with Senator Williams in New Jersey and in Representative Murphy in the New York area, and the connecting link here was Irv Davidson. So when the story first broke about Abscam and Bry Lab, naturally I was interested in Irv Davidson, but there wasn't any information at all about him until this week in the Washington Post. Now to the story of Irv Davidson. There are several references in this article to what they call the IS, the inside story. And I never have seen a writer in the newspaper use capital letters in the middle of any sentence of reporting, even at the time of Watergate, with the IS. But this is what I'm going to share you parts of this article and then analyze them with you with as I share it. But I think you're going to pick up the point very quickly about Irv Davidson if you have done an hour's worth of research. If not, you will get, by the time I am finished, a overview of the last 16, 17 years of American history. The article describes Mr. Davidson as being 59 years old, kind of an elfin person. I don't know what elfin means, according to Gordon Chaplin. But he says he knows something that the rest of us can only guess at as the ultimate inside story, IS. The ultimate inside story, in my way of view, is the murder of the President of the United States on an open street and the use of the President of the United States, the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, the Supreme Court, Chief Justice, top attorneys like John J. McCloy, members of the House of Representatives such as Richard Russell from Florida and Gerald Ford from Michigan, to cover and lie, Mr. Cooper from Kentucky, all of these people and a staff of lawyers, several hundred of them, CIA secretaries, all lying about who murdered the President of the United States. That is the ultimate inside story. And this article says he is the man who knows the ultimate. And this is what Irv Davidson said, quote, "Listen, if I get knocked out of the box, it's going to hurt this country." And then he winks. There's a hint of anonymous contacts. Quote, "I'm involved in some very sensitive stuff overseas. I'm talking to people who our own people can't talk to." He's described as a handyman behind the scenes, a Washington promoter. Publicity is anathema to him. He has back-channel functions. You can't operate with publicity, and he was objecting to the fact that February the 8th, 6 days after this Abscam story broke and the 33 informers were dead in New Mexico, he was called and grilled by the FBI. They grilled him for 4 hours, just 4 hours, according to this article. Davidson works with a lot of important people, and then the article says two people. The FBI recently said he had put together our reputed New Orleans Mafia boss Carlos Marcello and Mario T. Noto, the former number two man of the Immigration Service. Result, the FBI is investigating allegations that Noto acted improperly to help Marcello fight deportation. Davidson introduced his old friend to Carlos Marcello and was the undercover man, but what happened was he introduced him to another friend who turned out to be working at that time as an undercover agent. There were three important men that were arrested by the FBI who offered to turn evidence on high-up people if they weren't sent to prison, and I do want to do a tape soon on those three major informers. They're very, very important people. Philip Carl Kietzer, Joseph Meltzer, and Melvin Weinberg were all apprehended for various crimes. And rather than go to jail, they said to the FBI, "We will offer you information of politicians who are in the pay of the mob." That is how the Abscam story began, because they couldn't turn down the offer. When they caught these men, they couldn't say, "No, I don't want to know what you're telling me," because they would be investigated for covering up. These men were offering them information. So these were mobsters that had worked all kinds of tricks through their lives, international, national, all over the world. And when each of them was brought in, they offered simultaneously not to go to jail or to get a light sentence in exchange for information. And one of the people that had switched to becoming an informer, Marcello didn't know that, and he turned his, he was turned over by Davidson to one of these contacts, and they met up so that Marcello was meeting a friend of Davidson's who was now an undercover agent posing as an insurance salesman in the FBI scam down in the Southwest called Bri-Lab, the Bribery of Labor Organizations. And that surfaced in February this year. And the FBI was investigating a large range of crimes. Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Jimmy Fitzmaurice, Texas Speaker, House Speaker William Clayton, and so forth, were allegedly receiving illegal money and payoffs. And so that the connection of Davidson, of Marcello, to various people, insurance, FBI informers, Bri-Lab, and also the connection to Noto and immigration were the two places that Davidson was the important connecting link. And according to the Washington Post article, they did grill him for 4 hours, and they told him February the 8th that they had bugged his telephone for 1 year, because this investigation's been going on for 2 years. Well, a man like Davidson to have his telephone bugged for 2 years must have caused the federal government quite a shock when they got into something that they've been trying for 16 years to cover up. This article in the Washington Post says that he has better contacts than Clark Clifford. If you don't know Clark Clifford, he was once Secretary of Defense. He was attorney for Howard Hughes. He's the man who was recently in Afghanistan and in Pakistan talking about wanting World War III. He's been with the Defense Department and the wheeler and dealer of the highest level. And Davidson is described as a man with better contacts than Clark Clifford, which is almost impossible. The article goes on, "No illumination for Irv Davidson. He is the grease in the machinery, the Grand Central switchboard operator." Can you imagine what a good one they brought in? Grand Central, spelt with capital GC. The CIA refers to them as witty, in quotes, which means they're in various covert maneuverings, just as Tony Laskowitz during the Senate Watergate hearings was witty. Irv Davidson is witty. He claims that he knows the right inside story, capital I, capital S again, for everybody is now worth his price for everybody is now worth $250,000 a year. There's another gentleman that makes between $4 and $5 million a year out on the West Coast and in Chicago. I'll be doing many tapes on him. The IRS has trouble keeping track of him. His name is Mr. Korshak. He links to this whole ball of wax. But he's on a retainer fee by these various people for what he knows and the introductions he makes, and they can't keep track of his millions because it's all done in cash. We'll do more on him later. But this man says that he knows the right inside story for everybody. People like Clark Clifford know a good piece of the inside story, IS, capital IS, but they are too big and too solid and respectable to make it into all the corners. You see, it takes an Irv Davidson who knows the Secretary of Defense, the National Security Council that he works for, the president, the top officials, the immigration officials, the organized crime, the military. He is the public relations man in Washington who knows everything and every piece of the action, and that protects your public officials who say they don't know. He says Clark Clifford knows a good piece of the inside story, but he's too big and too respectable. Now, this man works, one of his closest buddies is Jack Anderson. Jack Anderson, of course, was a 20-year friend with Frank Sturgis, Frank Fiorini of Watergate fame. Jack Anderson has constantly put down the researchers on the assassination. He calls it ridiculous, these conspiracies. Davidson rented property, had an office in Washington, D.C., where he rented property to Drew Pearson when he was alive and Jack Anderson, and Anderson calls him for stories. Imagine that office might have been bugged, and that's the way he also worked his way up. He rented to Jack Anderson and Drew Pearson, who were investigating all the dirty scandals and getting documents from all over Washington, and then that's the exchange of documents is better than millions of dollars. This Irv Davidson rented office space to Jack Anderson and Drew Pearson, and when Jack Anderson wanted to know who killed Teamster boss Jimmy Hoffa, when he disappeared, they would call Irv Davidson. When they wanted to know where Marcello was, Carlos Marcello, when he was reported back in the country after he'd been deported in Guatemala, Davidson was the one who wanted to know. When Anderson wanted to talk to Bobby Baker, that was the cohort of Lyndon Johnson, who took the throne, the seat of government away when John Kennedy was assassinated. And Bobby Baker has written one book with a little bit of information of his past life and some of his experiences. When they want to know about Bobby Baker, then Davidson sets up the interview in Anderson's office with Bobby Baker and Mr. Davidson there. This article has a quotation. I guess it was in the Washington Post, so maybe I can read it on the air. What Mr. Davidson said when they asked him about the favors of immigration, he said, "Who needs to get mixed up in this horseshit with immigration?" Question mark. He says, "Look what I'm doing. I'm bringing Coke soft drink into Sudan to show them how to grow citrus in the desert. I sold Clint merchants and oil piers to the Malaysians. I bought Israeli stagehound tanks that I sent to Nicaragua and to Batista in Cuba." Then it has the background, and here's where we get into the position of power of Irv Davidson, and then links to the, he's threatening the big story if they get him. He lived in Pittsburgh, and during the war, he was in a web of contacts as an expediter, in quotes, for the ammunition program of the War Production Board during World War II. So he had to be in with the military and the OSS during World War II. And he says, "I've been expediting ever since," and of course, during World War II, we took in the organized crime in Italy and began Lucky Luciano and Tom Dewey and the New York politicians incorporating organized crime into the Defense Department. He's worked with Somoza. He says he helped the dictator in Somoza, who's his close friend in Nicaragua. When Somoza called me to get a 707 out of the country during the Sandinista thing, he helped him. He not only helped Somoza get out of the country and worked with immigration, but I received another article from a listener in New York, dated 1979, August 9th, 79, about the airplane flight of illegal people from Nicaragua coming to this country, 142 Nicaraguans, seven military officers flown to the United States with the help of Representative John Murphy, who went to West Point with Somoza, who's now brought into the Abscam trials and is probably be indicted soon, and the can of worms of Murphy and immigration and Somoza links to Davidson and immigration and Somoza. He works in Haiti and in Cuba, and he helped with Nicaragua getting them out of the country. He works in Indonesia and has strong contacts there, and in Haiti and Cuba. He worked with Batista and Cuba before Castro took over, and Haiti is where George de Morenchild went, Lee Harvey Oswald's Nazi controls CIA spy. He was with Oswald from the time he came home from the Soviet Union in June 62 and then went to Haiti in April 63. All the ground and footwork was made to make Oswald the patsy and set up the assassination of John Kennedy. And de Morenchild disassociated himself then and went to Haiti until after Kennedy was killed. his widow lives in Texas now and has talked about his Nazi connections and his spy connections. The article goes on that Davidson said, when Clint Murchison, the oil man, needed $4 million for a housing project, Davidson put him in touch with Jimmy Hoffa on the condition that Drew Pearson be allowed to write a column about it. Now, it's interesting, Murchison comes from one of the wealthiest oil families in Texas, and it was at the home of Clint Murchison, written up in Penn Jones' book, Forgive My Grief, that there was a meeting the night before John Kennedy was killed, where Richard Nixon attended and J. Edgar Hoover, and the final okay went out to kill John Kennedy the next morning. Nixon left town, Love Airfield, just before Kennedy was killed. But Davidson not only introduced Noto of Immigration to Carlos Marcello for favors and got Noto a job for when he retired from Immigration, but he set up the Jimmy Hoffa connections to Clint Murchison. Now, Murchison had the contacts of Washington, D.C., Richard Nixon, who was to appoint Gerald Ford on the Warren Commission, and Alan Dulles, and the oil people, Leon Jaworski, who worked for the Warren Commission, the oil lawyers. Murchison had the contact of J. Edgar Hoover, Richard Nixon, and the entire Washington oil team that were in on the killing of Kennedy. Then Murchison was introduced to Hoffa by Davidson, who had come from the War Production Board and military establishments, who introduced him to Hoffa. Now, Jimmy Hoffa had the connections to Jack Ruby, Sam Giancana, John Rosselli, Carlos Marcello, David Ferry, the people that were to kill Lee Harvey Oswald, and the witnesses, the 200 witnesses after the assassination of John Kennedy, would be done by organized crime so that the government could cover it up at the highest level, but they needed organized crime to kill the 200 witnesses that have been killed so far, and the payoff probably is getting pretty heavy. And Davidson made the contacts of Hoffa to Murchison, and Murchison was very important in this story. Interesting that he gets credit for when Murchison needed $4 million. Was that really for a housing project, or was that a payoff for the entire assassination work done in Texas? There's a story that Davidson ran afoul of the law in 1969. It had to do with a Teamster pension loan housing project in Beverly Hills. That was the Truesdale estate where John Dean got a home at the height of Watergate and moved out there with Maureen Dean. This was put up with Teamsters money. And now he's asking for $60 million recovery from some harassment he had at the time, which, again, could be a payoff for not talking. He's asking the Teamsters to recover some damages of $60 million at this time. Now, the Washington Post says, now part of the inside story, IS, used capitals for the third time, Davidson says, involves an item in the Justice Department known as the in-depth file regarding Irv Davidson. He will make mysterious bits of paper available about his activities in the interests of the United States government. The details are of a sensitive nature. He says he works with the National Security Council. The FBI won't play with me. I'm a super agent. I travel on two passports. Here is my diary, National Security Council. Sometimes the interests of the United States require certain things which, because of their shaky nature, cannot be identified with the United States. On the other side of this tape, I'll do a little more on Davidson before I go on. Mr. Gordon Chaplin of the Washington Post knows this is a big story, what he calls capitals, the inside story. Indeed it is, and as I say, we'll do a little more and probably be referring to this on many other tapes.
Kiss my ass goodbye.